Well, guys, I'm not into religion or traditions of men. Amen. But I am into relationship with the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what my life is about. And I hope that's what your life is about. Not religion, not traditions of men. But I want to speak to you this morning about a man whose life was all about religion and traditions, whose life was radically changed by his risen Savior who met him on the road to Damascus. And so I want to speak about that in by way of Psalm 22. We're going to turn there, but not immediately, but Psalm 22, verse 1, we're going to go there eventually. This morning, the Lord kind of redirected me. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And we're going to read from verse 12 to 18. It's talking about that man that I said he was into religion, he was into tradition. And he was serious about it. Dead serious about it. People's lives were impacted by his religion and tradition. Acts chapter 26, verse 12. I'm going to read it. It says, while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me, and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of things which are have seen and of things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and by power of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So here was this great scholar, a Hebrew of Hebrews, right? A Pharisee of Pharisees. He was given the right to go and persecute those that believed in Christ, those in the way, and he was doing it. And people were dying because of it. And then God met him on the road to Damascus. And then God gave him his calling right here. And that calling is what why we're here today. What he told him and what he did in response to that, we are who we are today that believe in Jesus Christ. He had to turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan of God that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified in faith in me. This was Jesus speaking to him. But that's what we're about too. That's what God has called us all to. These people were in darkness. The people around you and your family and your friends and your coworkers, they're in darkness. They need to come to know the light. They need to be enlightened. Need to be enlightened. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. This is Paul again, but they were having schisms and isms and all that division stuff going on. One was saying it was of Paul, one was saying it was Apollos, and they were doing baptizing, they were doing these things, and they were getting away from the point, the focus that Christ wanted to be on. So Paul said, I got to get you back to where we need to be focused on, which we also need to be focused on. He said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Paul was a wise man. He was a learned man. But he's acknowledging that that's not what a relationship in Christ is all about. There's a lot of people stuffing stuff in their head, but they got nothing in their heart for God. And now Paul's head work was not what was important. It was what his heart work was doing. And so Paul's telling them, for he goes on, he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolishness and wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Amen. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You see, there's no place in here that Paul's saying it's about him. In what he's speaking, he says it's about Christ. He has the power. He has the wisdom. We have to be plugged in to the source, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, religion says there's a lot of things you've got to do to be right with God. And traditions say, beyond that, you have to go do this and this and this to be right with God. But Paul's bringing us back to the point, you need Christ, and you need to be empowered by the Spirit of God to be right with God. It's all about Christ and what he did for you, not about who you are and what gifts and talents and abilities you have, what you bring to the table. It's about what he has already put in you and he's bringing out of you. It's an outpouring of his Spirit in your life. And it's a relationship that develops this. It's a relationship, a loving relationship that you have with him. That's where it stems from. You can't make it happen. You can memorize the scripture as Paul did, and he knew. But he's telling us here, it's not about that. It's about being acknowledged and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what God has for you to do. And that's what, and it all comes through Christ. So let's go on, verse to the end here. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It's verse 26 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world, me and you, to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So now Paul was out there doing what the authorities had told him to do, religious authorities had told him to do. And he did it, and he did it with all his life, all his might, all his knowledge, and he was having saints killed. And now he's had a reversal. Christ said, it's about what I did for you, not what you can do for me. And now, in response and love, we do for him. But so he says, all glory goes to God. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he continues, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, did he know more than this? Yes, he did. But he's saying that's not what's important. What's important is Jesus Christ and him crucified. What did we just do? acknowledge what Jesus Christ did for us on this cross as we came forward here this morning. He continues in verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So where is your faith? Your faith is not to be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That power only comes through His Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, he says, to do. Now, I want to take you from there to Psalm 22, verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. Because it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And where was this relationship established? When was it established? How did this relationship with this Almighty Creator come about for us and for this world? What had to take place for this to happen? So the title of this message is The Sacrifice of Love. Psalm 22:1, it says this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Where in the New Testament are these words spoken? Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross. We want to go there. Let's look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Now remember this, what was spoken in Psalm 22, this is David, King David, who wrote these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He wrote these words down. Now, these words at this time, when these words were spoken and these words were written down, there was no such thing as the crucifixion. Death penalty was by stoning. So when these words were spoken and written down, it was somewhere between 1400 to 500 BC. So when somebody speaks something and then later on it's spoken and or it happens, it's called a prophecy. How do you know if a prophet is a true prophet? You know that when this prophet speaks forth, and it comes true, then he is a true prophet. And in this case, David was speaking forth that many years before Christ was even on that cross. But now we see in Psalm in Matthew chapter 27, the fulfillment of what was spoken. Verse 45. Now in the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was Hebrew Jesus spoke when he was on that cross. Those that were present during the crucifixion, as verse 45 says, they experienced an extraordinary event spoken of in verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. What they say is that there was an eclipse of the sun. Eclipses don't last that long. Sixth hour to ninth hour. 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon approximately. Darkness all over the land. 3 hours. Matthew Henry, a great theologian, wrote this regarding those 3 hours. During the 3 hours that this darkness continued, we do not find that he said one word, Jesus, but passed his time in silent retirement into his own soul, which was now in agony, wrestling with the powers of darkness, taking in the impressions of his father's displeasure, not against himself, but the sin of man, which was now making his soul an offering for. Never was there such hours since the day of God created man upon the earth. Never such a dark and awful scene. The crisis of that great affair of man's redemption and salvation. The point is this, that Jesus' life and death fulfilled the prophecy written by King David back in Psalm 22. As we know, the sign of a true prophet is that it comes true. Well, Jesus spoke forth that God already knew was going to happen. Why, though? Why did Jesus, why did God have this take place? Why did Jesus speak forth this? What was going on at the time? According to 1 Peter 3:18, he explains it. 1 Peter 3:18. He says this, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all time. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." I'm going to go over that again. "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all time." Now, he suffered for sins. Whose sins? Our sins. He had not sinned. He was the perfect sacrifice. He had never sinned. He was sinless. But he suffered for sins, our sins. The just, him, for the unjust, us. So that he might bring us to God. That's the why. He did this so that we can now have this love relationship with God. Not religion, but relationship with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, his Father, and the Holy Spirit. He put to death, he having put to death in flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. So acknowledges that Jesus Christ on that cross, he did die. He did suffer and die. But he was made alive by the Spirit of God. He is not in the grave. He's not in the tomb. He rose from that grave. And that's what we celebrate. That he rose from that grave. And when he rose from that grave, he conquered death. Now, every time we do communion, we don't lay him down again. His blood is not shed again, and his body is not broken again. He says here he did it once for all time. Amen. Once for all time. This is not his body. This is not his blood. His body and blood are with him right now. Christ is alive today. Amen. But his body was broken. His blood was shed because that was the only way to have forgiveness take place and our relationship to be restored with our Creator, with through the sacrificing of blood. John 3:16 explains it this way, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It was a willful act by God that he gave his only Son. It's hard for me to understand that, having kids myself. Verse 17 said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Restored in relationship with him. Not only us, but the world itself. It was groaning and travailing, waiting for him. Verse 18 says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him already is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So, many of us in here have believed in him. But maybe you have not believed in him. Maybe you don't have this love relationship with him. And you're questioning yourself, do I or don't I? How is this about? Because if you're not in this relationship with him, you're condemned. Condemned to what? Condemned to separation from God. Because that's what he came to do, is restore us into relationship with him. Well, now, Christ did it. We that have received Christ have this relationship with the Creator of all the universe in our lives. So he saved us from damnation. He saved us from eternal separation from God, our Creator. Now, he had to do this because he's the same one that tells us what happens when you sin. In Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, he tells us. Now, we know that he gave them the Ten Commandments, right? Way back, Moses, mountain, people, Ten Commandments, broke them, went back up, did it again, broke them. Okay, there's ten. So there's many laws that God has given us. And so you cannot sit here and say, you know what, I don't sin. As a matter of fact, in 1 John it says, if you say you don't sin, well, then you're a liar. So we sin. Well, then, like you, many of you work, some are retired. If you work, you go to work, you get a paycheck. God willing, if you still have a job and they're still paying you, you get a paycheck. That's your wage. Well, the Bible says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So if we're sinners, we're going to get paid for our sin, and that's eternal separation from God. It's damnation. That's the wage of sin. That's why Christ came, to save us from that. He had to do it. He was the only one that could do it. If we could do it, he didn't have to come. He's the only one that could, and he did. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift, right? So, birthdays, Christmas, all these times where you give gifts. I don't know if you've ever gotten received a gift and then you paid that person for it. A gift is a gift. It's free. There's nothing you can do for it. That person has chosen to bless you. This creator of all the universe has chosen to bless us, to give us this gift of relationship with him. And it had to be done through this body and blood being broken, his being shed on that cross, that we would be restored into this relationship. Now, why did he do it? Because why did he go through all this for us? You know, why? Stevie's got you guys trained. So, why did he do it? Why did he go through all this for us? And the answer is this. The answer is this. It's simple. He made us. He made us for a relationship with him. We all know that. And he made us in his likeness and in his image. That's what it says in Genesis. We're made in his likeness and his image. And we're made for this relationship with him. But as we all know this, all of us, before I go there, but we know this. If we're made in his likeness and his image, it means these things. God is a creator. He has given us, who is made in his likeness and image, the ability to create. Man is our inventor. Man can make things and design things. I've never seen any of the dogs I've owned make anything or design anything. God, we have that ability to create. Ability to create. We have the ability to reason. Therefore, we have the ability to choose between good and evil. We have that ability to choose, reason. We have the ability to communicate with the Creator. What does that mean? That means we talk to him, he talks to us. We listen to him, he listens to us. It's communication. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his voice. Still small voice. He does. And so we have this ability to communicate him. The other thing we have is we have the ability to love. The ability to love. God defines himself as love. God is love. And he gave all of us that ability to love. Love. Nothing else in all of God's creations were made in God's likeness and in his image. Not even the angels. Not even the angels. Now, the angels have free will. But the Bible says that the angels were made to serve God. They're made to serve God. They have free will, right? One third of them rebelled against God. But guess what? They're not God's sons and daughters. You're God's sons and daughters. He made us to have this love relationship with him. Isn't that incredible that we have this relationship with our Creator? Now, remember back in the garden when Adam and Eve chose to rebel. They chose to rebel. Now, if Adam didn't do it, I would have did it. Bobby would have did it. You know, brothers, Rich might have did it. We all are sinners. But God had this plan to restore us into this relationship with him. He had this plan from the beginning. He knew we were going to blow it. God knows everything. So he had the plan, and the plan was that only his son could be the sacrifice for the sins that we committed. And only his son could do it, the perfect sacrifice. And he's, you know how you look at the Old Testament and you see all the what God taught them to do and how they had to do it, all the things. We even went up to the tabernacle not that long ago and saw everything that, and by design, what God had them do. We don't have to do all that because Christ did it for us. Christ did it for us. As the story goes, man sinned, disobedience to God. Therefore, God kicked him out of the garden. But God's rescue plan, according to Psalm 22 and also John 3:16 and 1 Peter 3:18, his desire is this. If we look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. His desire is to make us friends with him, have a relationship with him, not to be foes against him. Not to be foes against him. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He says this. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So where do you stand according to this verse? If you're not with him, you're actually against him. You're working against him gathering those into his kingdom. You're part of scattering them. I hate to be you. I'd rather be on his team. Trying to gather in those into the kingdom. As he instructed Paul, so he instructs us to do. So where do you stand? By default, he says here, you're against him. So you have to answer that question this morning. Where am I with Christ? I want to explain this to you. If you are with Christ, you're there because he showed you at some point in your life that you were a sinner and that you needed a Savior. You had to come to that acknowledgement at some point in your life. There's a lot of people that go to church every Sunday and they open their Bibles and they know their Bibles and that. But they don't acknowledge that they're a sinner and they needed the Savior. They acknowledge that there is a creator. There's somebody here, somebody somewhere. But have they ever come to that conclusion that they needed a Savior to save them from their sin, to restore them into this relationship with their creator? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says this, "And almost all things are cleansed with blood, according to the law. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." No forgiveness. So in order to understand this, you have to understand just how much God loves us, how much he loves us, why he would lay down the life of his son on that cross for us. Romans 5:6 says, "For when you were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 7, "For the scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." Verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So all comes down to that. His death, what we celebrate, his death and resurrection was for us. It was out of love. God is love, is why he's done that. And I've been trying to understand what God did when Jesus, his only son, was on the cross. I've tried to understand that, how he could possibly turn his back on his son. I can't say that I fully understand, but I can understand love. I understand having a deep love for somebody in your life. The reason why I believe that Jesus, that God could turn his back on his son at that moment in time when he was on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The reason why he could do that is he knew the end of the story. God knows everything. He knows everything. He knew the plan before there even was the fall. He already knew. And so he knew Christ had to come to the cross. Christ knew it. That was his purpose, his cross. He had to go to it. for us. So God knew that in that moment of time, when his son died, had all the sins of the world on him, he had to turn his back from him. He knew that he would once again be with his son, that his son would die momentarily, but his son would come to life. He knew it. But I want you to understand this. If you love somebody and you really care for somebody, there's a bonding there. I think of people in my life that I've bonded to. The number one and two were my mom and dad. Living in that home, they sacrificed for me, they loved my brothers. They did what they could to provide for us. My mom loved the Lord. She gave us what she had in regards to the Lord. Everything was there. Those are the first two major loves that I had in my life. And I said I had because they're no longer here on this earth with us. But I know they love the Lord, and so they're with my Father in heaven, and I'm going to see them again. But that when I lost my dad, I lost my mom first. When I lost my mom, it took me 5 years to work through life, to finally feel like I was back on my feet again, because the love I had for her was so intimate and special. And so when it was ripped apart, because that's what happens when you love. When you love, there's a chance you're going to get hurt and you're vulnerable. And so when that happened, it took time to then get back on my feet and start to do what God had for me to do. I mean, I was out of it. Looked like I was going to work and I was loving my wife and my kids and raising them, but man, I was just not where God wanted me to be. It's because I loved. My dad the same. And so that's, and think about it, God created us in his likeness. He created us in his image. And he, God is love. So when his son was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? What was the father feeling at that time? This was his son who, from eternity, they've been together. A son who never sinned but took on your sins and my sins. And God couldn't look at him any longer and turn away from his son. But that ripping apart of that love relationship. For who? For a son? No, for me and you. Us sinners. And I was thinking about that. I thought, wait, how can I relate to that? I just expressed to you that part of it, but I was thinking about this. I was thinking, you know what? In my life, I also have those that I love, that I really love, and that's my son, my two daughters, my son-in-laws, my daughter-in-law, my grandchildren. You know, I love my siblings. And I mean, and those are close love relationships. I'm loved by them, and they love me. I know it. And that's awesome that we have that, because we're created in God's image. And so, but there's one love that I have that I couldn't imagine not having that love, and that's my wife. She's the love of my life. We've been married for 40 years this past April. And so she's the love of my life. So I was thinking this. I was thinking, what if I was walking? I'm walking down the street. Me and my wife, Lupe, and we're walking down the street, and we come to an intersection. And at this intersection, the light is red to us to walk across. So we're waiting there to get across the street, waiting for the signal to tell us to walk. And it's a busy intersection. And as we're standing there, she's on my left, a man comes walking up, and he stands on my right. And I recognize him. I look at him, I think, this guy, I've seen him. He's from TV. He's that pedophile, child molester that was released illegally from jail. And now he's standing right here next to me. And I'm looking at him thinking, what? This guy, this pedophile, this child molester who should not have been released is standing right here next to me. Guess what? The light turns green. And as the light turns green, my love takes the step before me. And she steps out. As she's stepping out, this gentleman, he starts to step too. But as I look to my left, I see a big semi-truck coming, and he's not going to stop. And he's coming, and he's going to hit the love of my life, or he's going to hit this man. I could save one. Who am I going to save? Well, of course, I'm going to save my wife. I'm going to grab my wife and pull her back and hope that this gentleman sees her as well. But I'm going to save my wife. But that's not what Christ, that's not what God did. God looked and saw the child molester, the pedophile, and he saw the love of his life, Jesus Christ, and he let his love of his life, Jesus Christ, die on that cross for that child molester, pedophile. I can't do that. I would grab my wife and pull her back, and probably you would do the same thing. But Christ, but God knew that if I, my son has to die, so this pedophile, this child molester, would have hope. Us, we, because of our sin, that we would have hope. And that's what he did. He died. He chose to die for the sinner, you and me. And when his son said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a ripping apart of love right there. But it was for us. That's how loved you are. That's how loved I am. We are so blessed that he did that. We did nothing. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. And I think to myself, well, you know, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. But God knew this. He knew John 14:6. He says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. And that's it. There was only one way for us to be restored into relationship with God. And that was through his son, Jesus Christ. So when you think about religion and you think about traditions, all that stuff, throw it out the window. Paul did. Live for Christ. Recognize how much he loves you and how much he's done for you. And recognize it every day. Yes, we recognize every once a month on Sunday. But we're to do it every day when we rise up and when we lay down and we go about our day. We're not only supposed to do it, but we're supposed to share it, how much he's done for us. The love that he has for us. We're to share with our children and with our grandchildren and with our neighbors and with our coworkers and all those, because it's their only hope. Just as Christ died for us sinners while we were yet sinners, so you have to share this hope, living hope, with those around you in this dark world. So yeah, we come together and we celebrate communion. And we're supposed to, because Jesus said, when you do this, and do it until I come. We're to be looking for his coming, but we're to be doing in his business until he comes. We're not to do our business. Yes, you got to go to work. Yes, you have to eat. Yes, all these things. You need clothes and that. You need shelter and all this stuff. But we're to be busy about his business. What does God have for you to do? What does God have for you to be doing for him? Paul thought he was doing it for God. He thought he was. He was out there persecuting the saints. He thought he was right. God got his attention, knocked him off his horse, blinded him. Through that, Paul recognized it's Jesus Christ. It's not about me and my abilities or my ability to speak or to learn or to recall or any of these things. It's about Jesus Christ. People need Jesus. They don't need religion. They don't need tradition. They need Jesus. He's the only one that can save. He's the only one that can heal. He's the only one. But for some reason, he chooses to use these broken vessels. Us. This body of Christ, he chooses to use us. Why are we so blessed? I'm not worthy. Not. We recognize you're not, but that's okay. Because he is. And he knows what he's doing. He's doing this great work in your lives. It's a great work. It's a great, if you allow him to do it, it's a great work. But if you keep thinking that you got it down and you know what to do, when to do, how to do, you know, God, yeah, I know what your word says, but, you know, I got this. That's not how he operates. That's not how Jesus operated. Every day he went to his Father when he was on this earth, and he received his marching orders for him. He was out by himself praying and talking to his Father. He knew exactly what was taking place that day because he had already talked to his Father about it. And God directed him by his Spirit, directed him around. But Jesus knew his focus. He was going to the cross. And other things happened. These things happened here. He didn't get involved at all. He couldn't do everything. He did what God brought him to do, and that was go to the cross. And on the way, he did what God showed him to do. Well, the same thing with us. You can't do everything. I love it that Brother Neil and Yvonne, they're involved with missions ministries and that. Brother Tom is involved with worship and what he does there. Pastor Steve, he preaches the word, and that's what God's called him to do. Well, then do what God's called you to do and do with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Do what God's called you to do. I know our sister goes out many times and joins the groups that are talking about what's going on in our lives, what's going on with the laws, what's going on with the community, and that kind of stuff, and informs us about those things so we can be informed and make right decisions. And praise God for that. But do what God's called you to do, and do it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because you're blessed and you're loved. You are so loved. I know many times I get up here, I kind of say the same things over and over again, man. But I can't get away from it. It's Jesus Christ, man. It's him and his love for us that causes us to respond to his love. So I'm going to end right now, a little early. But what I want to do is I want to invite you guys. You know, you can go back to the prayer room back there. Go ahead, come up, worship team. You can go back to the prayer room back there. And if something in this message, God spoke to you somehow, and you need prayer, go back there and receive prayer. Or you want to come forth here, I'll be here, and some of the elders or pastors or women's leaders will be here. We want to pray with you. Look at God answers prayers. He knows your hearts. He's already spoke to you, so just respond to what he said. You know, it ain't up to us. It's up to him. It's what he does. So, or as this after this song, let's sing this song together. Don't walk out. Stand up. Everybody stand up. And let's sing this song together. And when this song is concluded, either come forward or go to the back there or have a great day. Okay? God bless you all. Let's worship the Lord.